conference is being recorded.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tell them I rose from the grave. Tell them cause of love I gave. Tell them I'll wipe their tears. Tell them I'll heal all their fears. Tell them I'll right their wrongs. Tell them I'll fill their hearts with soul.
Tell you,
and not hate. Oh,
tell them.
Oh,
maybe there's somebody right out there right now who doesn't know the Lord. And your heart is being tugged on. And you know that you're in need of something more than what you have right now. But you don't know what to do. You've tried everything, and there's nowhere to turn. Or maybe you know the Lord, but for some reason you just walked away. You know He's calling you. He'll wipe your slate clean. He just says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is raised from the dead. And He said, you will be saved. Or maybe you have some type of sickness in your body. Or you're going through some circumstances where you feel like you're drowning and you want to give up. And you just say, I just need you to pray for me. If that's you, I'm asking you to come. Just forget about who's sitting beside you, who's looking at you, who's listening to you. And come. He's calling you. Will you come? Time is running out. Will you come?
Won't you answer?
Will you come?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And welcome to another Tell Them broadcast on My King Service Worldwide Fellowship Radio. This is your host for the evening, Minister Monica St. Hill Morton. And I just want to say again, welcome. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And before we get started, I'd first like to go before the throne of grace and read a prayer out of the book that we've been talking about for several weeks on the broadcast called Effective Prayers for Various Situations by Prophetess Mary J. Ogine-Raikwa. Amen. Such an awesome, awesome book. You know, so many, they say, well, I don't know how to pray, or I don't know what to pray. And this book is so rich and full of prayers that really will break things in your life. And at the end of the broadcast, I'll tell you how you can get it. So we've been talking for the past 4 weeks or so about spiritual warfare and about putting on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceptions, the tricks, the strategy, and the plan of the evil one, of the devil. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that because I am baptized into Christ, I have put on Christ. Therefore, no weapon, no tongue, no destruction, No evil or tragedy shall prosper against me. I also thank you that I have escaped the snare of the devil, and I dwell under the shadow of your wings. Because of what you have done for me in Christ Jesus, I boldly confess that today I put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, and I gird my loins with your truth. I also put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. With the shield of faith, I quench every fiery dart of the devil, and I use the sword of the Spirit to cut asunder all they that rose up against me. Lord, I ask that you order my steps in your word. Holy Spirit, please lead me into all truth. Father, I thank you for giving me the ability to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves you and him that serves you not. I choose to follow after righteousness, godliness, and holiness. I choose to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance. I purpose to live in peace with all men, have the right thoughts, and speak the truth in all things. I will not lie, cheat, steal, or covet that which belongs to another person. Father, I choose to dwell in your secret place and abide under the shadow of your wings all the days of my life. I counsel all the activities of the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness against me. I declare their plans against me to be null and void from this day forward in Jesus' name. I cancel the plans of all spirits of false religion, such as voodoo, Santeria, Freemasonry, the God of Iron Worship, Ogboni, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Ekinar, Rosicrucianism, etc., against me. Father, I choose to walk closely with you, and I ask that you help me to do so every day of my life, and keep me as the apple of your eye in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I repent for every time that I have not put on the whole armor of God. I ask that you forgive me and help me to keep my armor on at all times. I thank you that I belong to you through my Lord Jesus Christ. You are my whole armor, and I confess that because I was baptized into Christ, I have put on Christ, it is written. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's in Galatians 3:27. I have put on the whole armor of God that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because I wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and wicked spirits in high places that rule the darkness of this world. Therefore I take unto me the whole armor of God, so that I may withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I stand, therefore, having my loins girt about with truth. Your word, Lord, which is truth, contains all the weapons of my warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through you, O God, for the pulling down of strongholds. Therefore, I pull down all strongholds that Satan sought to build against me in thought, words, deeds, imaginations, counsels, and through words from other people's lips. I have on the breastplate of righteousness, which is faith and love. I choose to walk in faith and love all the days of my life. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I pursue peace with all men. I choose to avoid strife, arguments, quarreling, etc. I declare that I am a minister of reconciliation, and my mission is to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. I take the shield of faith wherewith I am able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, holding the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of God's heart, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the face of all trials, tests, temptations, and tribulations, I cut to pieces the snare of the devil by speaking the word of God in faith. I declare that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Father, for giving me your whole armor in Christ Jesus. It is you, O Lord Jesus, that made it possible for me to wear the whole armor of God, because you paid the price for me on the cross. By God's grace, I pray at all times, on every occasion, every season, and in the spirit with all manner of prayer and supplication. To that end, I will keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all saints. I confess that my power, abilities, and sufficiency are from God, who has qualified me as an able minister of the covenant that he established with the blood of his only begotten Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I like that part about how God himself has at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit with all manner of prayer and supplication, that he's enabled me to keep alert. That means we have to watch as well as pray, and with strong purpose and perseverance. And that my power is not my own. My abilities is not my own. My sufficiency is not in me, but it's from God, the one that has qualified me as an able minister of the covenant that he established with the blood of Jesus. You know, that's a mouthful right there, that what we do, it is God that has enabled us. You know, am I the greatest prayer? No. But can I pray great prayers? Yes. Am I the greatest minister? No. But can I minister a great message? Yes. Because of God, who has enabled me to do so through the blood of Christ. If you've been following us for the last 4 weeks or so, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. And it's a relevant subject, especially right now in the days and times that we're living in. So many times we can get it confused that we're fighting with flesh. But it's not our husbands that we're fighting. It's not our wives that we're fighting. It's not our children that we're fighting. It's not the boss. It's not the government. It's not the president. It's not the mayor. It's not the governor. It's not the neighbor. But we are fighting against principalities and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We've talked about what the whole army is, and that's what we're going to start at tonight for those who are just listening in for the first time, or you've only gotten a few of the broadcasts and you're trying to catch up. You know, we've been talking about the tongue, the ears, the eyes, the mouth, the mind. You know, we've been talking about those areas because, you know what, they're vulnerable areas. What was the whole purpose of God saying you have to put on the whole armor, that you can stand against the wiles and the strategies of the devil? See, the armor is put in place to protect our vulnerable areas. Look at the helmet, you know, which is your soulless realm, how you think, the seat of your emotions. Because, you know, we can be controlled by external factors. We can be controlled by what we see or how we perceive, what we hear, what someone said or what we see or what we say. The Word of God tells us that God is not, he hasn't given his children a spirit of not knowing what's going on. God hasn't given us a spirit of ignorance. But he has given us this book called the Bible. He's given it to us so that we can learn what the strategies of Satan are, how to detect him, how to see where he's hiding, how we have to not just go through the salvation experience through the sinner's prayer and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. That's just the beginning. That's just the door opener. That's just the key that can go into the lock to turn it. He said, you must be born again. And when you are born again, when you truly repent, that means that you make a conscious decision that you're going to turn in the opposite direction from where you were going. So that's why I said if you were a liar, then you have to make up in your mind that you're not going to lie anymore. If you were jealous and envious and covetous and always wanting what someone else had and would do anything to get it, then you have to purpose in your heart and say, you know what? I'm not going to steal and covet and be jealous and envious anymore. If you were an adulterer, you said, you know what? I'm going to wait for God to send me my own husband or my own wife. I'm not going to go after somebody else's anymore. But you have to decide that. No one can make you do it. Your heart has to purpose that. And that's what we're going to get into tonight, talking about the heart. See, the breastplate of righteousness, it covers the heart. Because, see, if there's no blood pumping through the heart, you die. Death occurs. If the brain and the heart stop talking to each other, you die. The brain is the control center. So that's why you have to have on the helmet of salvation. Because even you have on the helmet of salvation, that means you're going to watch. You're going to be careful at what you look at. You're going to be careful at what you allow to come into your ear gate. You're going to be careful about how you perceive. You're going to want to say, Lord, let me see with your eyes. Lord, let me have your heart. Because without that, you'll believe the wrong thing. You'll believe a lie. So we're going to go to Ephesians 6. We're going to start at verse 10. And if you'll follow along with me, I'm reading from the King James Version. And it reads, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, we cannot be effective in spiritual warfare and that our strength be in us. Because it's not by our power, by our might, but it's by God's spirit. So it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, God's might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, all of it, not part of it, all of it, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand there, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Amen. Amen. So we have to put on the whole armor. And like I said, we're going to concentrate on verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I have a question for you. Have you ever started out to do something for God that you know that you know that you know that it was God that spoke to you, that impressed it upon your heart, that was so strong that you couldn't shake it? And then you started out to do that good thing. You started out to do what God told you to do. And then you ran into obstacles. You ran into some opposing forces. Seems like everything started going wrong. The money got funny. People walked away from your life. The family started bickering and fighting. The kids started getting on your nerves. Your boss started calling you into the office every 5 minutes to reprimand you on something that you just couldn't figure out why. The bill collector started calling. Old stuff started creeping up on your credit report, 20 years old, and then here it is, it's back, or stuff that you paid off, and now they're telling you you owe it again. Have you experienced that and said, God, why me? Why not you? Or have you said, why are these people doing this to me? Why is this always happening to me? Well, you know what? If you are a child of God, and remember, I qualified it in the beginning, and you are walking into what God told you to do, and you're learning to walk it out, and you started on that path, and now you've got all this, these obstacles. Well, you know what? It's not the people that's been coming against you. You're in spiritual warfare. And see, for too long, and I have been guilty of it before myself, for too long, we don't look at it being spiritual warfare. We don't look at it as evil spirits that we are contending with. We tend to look at it in the flesh and look at it as being people. When it's not people. So tonight I want to go over some scriptures
dealing with the heart. Because I tell you, there's some vaults that can come out of you, come out at you from left field that can hurt your heart, that can hurt your heart to the core. That can make you want to just throw in a towel and throw your hands up. That can make you second guess yourself and then question God to say, God, did you really say? Am I on the right track? Am I really doing the right thing? Because, see, that's a strategy of the enemy. That's a wile of the enemy. That's a plot, a plan of the enemy. That's a fiery dart of the enemy first to get you to doubt God. See, we talked about it last week, about that's what he did with Adam and Eve. He started with them by getting them to doubt God and think that, did God really say that? Or cause them to twist what he said and to add on to it? Or to take away from it? The plan and the tricks are still the same. It hasn't changed from then to now. It might be dressed up differently. It might have on a different skirt and another color pair of slacks. It might have long hair instead of short. It might be white instead of black. It could come in a whole lot of shades and colors and variations. But then it's the same spirit behind it. You know, like the it's a cliche that says, if you take the onion and you peel the skin back and see what you have, it's still the same onion. And you might say, why the breastplate of righteousness? Why is it so important to protect your heart? Furthermore, what part does the heart have to play in spiritual warfare? Turn to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verse 23. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, we have to protect our heart. It said, with all diligence. That means with everything in you. You have to do it. You know what I have to do sometimes? Because like I said, sometimes things can happen in your life. The enemy can use those that are the closest to you, those that you love, those that you think should be on your side, fight to the death with you, have your back, and then they hurt you. And they cut you so deep. And your heart is so wounded that you begin to feel the spirit of offense towards them. Then you begin to rehearse in your mind all their wrongs, all the ways that they've hurt you, all the ways they've disappointed you, all the ways that they may have said a sharp or unkind word to you. And now your heart is so wounded, and you become angry and bitter, that the way that you used to hear God so clearly, it was almost like he could whisper, and you could feel his presence, or you could hear his voice, just like the wind, when it's like a real soft, smooth breeze, and you can feel it just lightly touching your skin. And then you don't feel that anymore. Or you don't sense God's presence. You don't hear his voice talking to you. Or you don't feel the peace of God that you once had. If you really look at it and you're honest about it, it's some heart issues. I've been there. You know, not to glory in the past or to glory in experiences. But the fact of the matter is that I've had some experiences that crushed me, and where I was so hurt that I became angry at God. See, I wasn't guarding my heart. See, the enemy was shooting darts at my heart the whole time. I wasn't seeing the enemy that was shooting the darts. I was looking at the people that it was coming through. So I was so hurt and so offended. And it eventually turned to bitterness. And I was also angry at God. You know, one thing about the Word of God, if you read it and you study it, if you truly are saved, born again, and you have a relationship with Christ, a relationship with God, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He'll reveal some things to you. Not about your husband and your children and the neighbor and the pastor and the man down the street, but he'll reveal some things to you about you. And hello, caller, how are you?
Hey, this is Peggy.
Amen. Amen. Welcome. And amen. We're discussing spiritual warfare, and I was just telling a story. And because I wasn't looking at the enemy throwing the darts at me, I was looking at the people who were throwing the darts at me. So I was hurt, and I wondered, and asked God, well, how could he let it happen? Because I felt that I was righteous. I was living right. I wasn't sinning. At least I didn't think I was. I was going to church. I was praying, I was reading the Word. And, you know, God is so good in his infinite wisdom. You know what he let me see through that? You know, and I got angry, and I didn't read the Word anymore. I didn't want to pray. He let me know that during that time I was self-righteous because I thought I was, by my deeds of not doing this and not doing that, that I was so righteous, not knowing that my righteousness was filthy rags, not knowing that my righteousness is God's righteousness. Without him, without the blood of Jesus, my righteousness was nothing. But at that time, I thought that I was righteous. Didn't realize either that I was full of false humility and pride. So I thought that I'm walking right. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So how could that happen to me? And so I became angry. And I didn't want to pray anymore. I didn't want to read the word. I didn't want to talk to God. I didn't want to hear from him. And so he stopped talking. Because, see, he said if we come after him with our whole heart, not half-hearted, but our whole heart, then we find him. And see, as much as you want God, he wants you more. So to make a long story short, during that whole experience, I also, the word showed me that not only was I prideful, but that I had committed idolatry. Because I cared more about what that person thought about me than what God thought about me. I exalted what they thought higher than what God thought. But even though all those things I just named, it was out of ignorance. But see, but once God showed me through the word and by his Holy Spirit, I wasn't ignorant anymore. So I couldn't continue, I couldn't use that as an excuse. Because ignorance is won't pass at all. You still be accountable for what you think and what you say and what you do. So I ask God to forgive me for idolatry and for being prideful and for having false humility. And then you know what? He began to speak to me again. And he was just like the story of the prodigal son. I was the prodigal daughter. And he was right there to take me back and to love on me. And it was after that experience that I started to pray a prayer that David prayed. I started asking God to create in me a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within me. Because I knew that without God, my heart was going to have some issues. But you see, there's a human way of thinking, a humanistic way, that exalts man and self. But then there's a God way of thinking that exalts God and says, you know what? Without you, God, my heart is sick. And God helped me, and I pray that prayer to this day. I have never forgotten that experience that I went through. And you know what made it so bad? I was in that dark place. And my heart was so distorted for 3 years. And when I look back, I just say, God, I just thank you. Because anything could have happened during those 3 years. See, he could have allowed the enemy to take me out. He could have allowed some far worse things that happened to happen. That whole situation, it could have gone a number of ways. But God's grace and his mercy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know the time when your heart wasn't right. And if your life had been snuffed out at that moment, you know it wouldn't have been good. Some of you are there right now. So I would ask you tonight while we're doing this broadcast to do a heart check. To check your pulse. Check your pulse and see if God's heart beats. If his heartbeat is beating. Because you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard what you allow in. You know, I often think about the scripture that says that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. Because if we let the wrong thing into our heart and let it fester, it's going to be some bad stuff that's going to come out. I had a wise man of God tell me one time. He said, whenever you hear someone that can't control themselves as far as profanity, he said to me, he said, that's a sign of a wicked heart. And you know, that thing used to bug me. And I used to go, well, why did he say that? Why did he say that? You know, in Proverbs 15:9, you know, it says that the way of the wicked is an abomination to God. Let's turn it out. Proverbs 15:9. You know, there are a lot of things that deal with the heart that you might say, wow, hadn't looked at it like that. He says in Proverbs 15:9, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And so here it is again. We're dealing with spiritual warfare. The breastplate of righteousness, God's righteousness, that covers the heart. Because out of it flows the issues of life. There are a whole lot of things that are connected to the heart. One of the things that I've often said is that it's better for us to be honest You know, even when times I was in the flesh and I had somebody say, don't think like that, or don't say that, you know what I told them? I said, you know what? I prayed and I asked God to help me. And I said, but I cannot lie to myself and lie to God. See, I need God to help me in the way that I'm thinking about this situation. But what I'm saying out of my mouth is what's in my heart, if that makes sense. Proverbs 16, verse 1, it says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. See, we have to take on Christ. We have to take on the mind of Christ. We have to eat this word. We've got to let it get down into our spirit. We've got to let it get down into our heart. So then what comes out of our mouth is what God says. See, we could say anything. We could say anything. But it's God that weighs the heart. You know, I was talking earlier about that experience I had for those 3 years. Proverbs 16:2 is so fitting. It says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs spirits. And see, then we have to commit our works unto the Lord. And then, he said, our thoughts will be established. So that was the turnaround. I knew my thinking wasn't right because my heart wasn't right. But once I said, Lord, I knew that my ways, my thoughts, my deeds, they weren't clean like I thought they were. And I decided to commit my life to God completely. And then God began to change my heart. I can't tell you when it happened, how it happened, the date, the month, and the year. All I know is that one day, what I was before, I wasn't anymore, that I was changed. So I just thank God. I thank God for this word that reveals myself to me. And I'm not talking about this all sin and bad stuff, because this word, it reveals the good things too. It reveals who I am. So no matter what I go through, that I can look at myself as God sees me. It doesn't matter what negative words are spoken to me or about me, but I can see myself as what God sees. Now, I had a situation not too long ago, and there were some things said about me that was not true. So far from the truth. And here it was, I went out of my way to help a person. And because I wouldn't allow myself to be manipulated and used, so they lied. They lied on me and tried to make me look bad. But I just thank God for where God has brought me from, because I wasn't shaken in it. I wasn't upset to the point where I was just broken into pieces and my heart was shattered. And you know why? Because I know who I am in Christ. See, when we know who we are and we walk in God's righteousness, not our own, and we know the truth of God's word and what the word says about us, who God says we are, then we can be confident. We don't have to worry about what the devil says, because he's doing his job. He's come but to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the accuser of the brethren. So if you're walking right, expect to be lied on. Expect to be talked about. Is there a caller that had a comment? Amen. We can expect to be talked about. We can expect to be accused of stuff that we didn't do. But see, that's why our confidence has to be in God. Is there a caller that has a comment? If you do, you can chime right in. So anyway, we can expect those things. And one thing that I really love about God is that he doesn't make it some spooky thing talking about spiritual warfare. He doesn't make it so far out that, oh my gosh, I can't do that. You know, how do I fight against the spirit? He makes it so practical if we just follow what the word says. Here's a good scripture that explains that. 2 Corinthians 11. If you'll turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 11. Starting at verse 3, and it reads, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." See, this gospel, this good news, it's simple. You know, if someone preaches another gospel, as it says in the next verse, it says, "For if he that cometh preaches another gospel, whom we have not preached," that's what Paul was talking about. They were preaching the gospel. "Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." See, the word of God teaches us how we can know, how we can guard our heart, how we can know what's God and what's not God. And I just love it that God put his thumbprint on every man, woman, boy, and girl, even those that say, you know what, I don't believe in God. I'm agnostic. I'm atheist. I'm this. And on that, he put a thumbprint. It's called the conscience. You know, and how he says that there are some that have seared their conscience through with a hot iron. You know, there are many that were brought up in the church. There are many that have known the word of God, read the word of God, received the word of God. But then they allow circumstances to change their heart or change their mind. You know, cause many think that they think with their mind, but really you think with your heart. Because what is in your heart is going to control what you think in your mind, your soulish realm, the seat of your emotion. Simplicity, that's in Christ, simple and easy. And you know what? This is not a beat you up message. This is a guard your heart message. Meaning, if you've turned your heart away from the Lord, if you've believed a lie, if you've accepted things that you know are against God and that are not true, don't continue down that path. You can stop right there where you are, put on the brakes, halt it, and say, you know what? I'm going to go back to my first love, the Lord Jesus. I'm going to change the way I was thinking. I'm going to see what God says about this. And if you look around today, you can see the hearts of many that have been turned to so many things that are not of God. We can look in our churches. We can look in our homes. We can look right there in our neighborhoods. We don't even have to leave the block. We can turn on the television and see the hearts that are moving further and further away from God. You know, just to deviate just a little bit. I was listening to the news, I believe it was yesterday, and they were talking about the boxer, Hector Camacho, who recently passed. So I went online and I, you know, wanted to read the article a little further. And I was so grieved. And my heart just was so heavy because here he was a young man, only 50 years old. He reached a place in boxing, in sports, that many have wanted to but never did. And I just started reading about the history of his life. How he was born in Puerto Rico. He went to New York as a baby. He grew up there in Spanish Harlem. But all the way up to the day of his death, where he was shot in the face with drugs found on him in a vehicle, along with his companion or the person riding with him was also killed. And he was in trouble. He was troubled, and he was in trouble from a young kid, in and out of jail, all the way up to the time of his death, and shot and killed in his hometown in Puerto Rico. And in that article, it talked about all of his bouts with the law and how some were afraid of him, afraid to approach him. How he was a nice guy with a heart of gold, but he could never really get his heart right. He could never really turn his life around to do something better with his life. Even though he made it in boxing, basically, he was still living a thug life. And I thought, how sad. I thought about, was there any spiritual people around him? Were there any Christians that he encountered? I don't know. And I wonder, well, Lord, where was the church? Where's the power? Did anyone witness to him? And it just made me wonder, how many people that claim to know the Lord that maybe had an encounter with him, maybe part of his entourage, did they ever tell him about the love of Jesus? Or did he reject it? Did anyone witness to him? And I just thought that it was such a sad commentary, a sad way to end a life and to go out. Really sad. So not only do we have to put on the breastplate of righteousness, not only do we have to guard our heart with all diligence, but as ministers of the gospel, and I'm not talking about a title. I'm not talking about a doctor of divinity. I'm not talking about having a minister's license hanging on your wall. I'm talking about everyone that names the name of Christ, doing the work of an evangelist. I'm talking about everyone that says that they're saved and that they love the Lord. Having the mind of Christ, having the heart of God, having the heart for the people. See, not only are we called to do spiritual warfare, and fight for ourselves, but we're called to fight for others. We're supposed to fight for those who can't fight for themselves. We're supposed to pray for our enemies and for those who deceitfully use us. They're trying to do us in. They talk bad about us. They make us the blunt of the jokes. They try to break up our family. You know, I love the way Paul puts it. He said, so were some of you. See, some of us were that. You know how the hearts of men will change? See, we have to allow God to love through us. We have to show God's heart for many We're the only Jesus that a lot of people will ever see. And there are so many. I meet them every day, especially when I was in the military. So many people hate God, don't want anything to do with God, don't want anything to do with church, don't want to hear about Christianity. Because of somebody. You see, it's up to us to know the word of God, that love God, that are called according to his purpose, that are willing and obedient, that are willing to allow God to love through them. Is it always easy? No. Does it hurt sometimes? Yes. But can we do it? For sure. Every day I have to make it a habit of asking God to love through me today. To deal with my heart. So I can give him my issues. At some point, we've got to not think about our four and no more. But at some point, if we really love God, if we really a believer, that we have to think about the lost. There's a lot of people that's dying lost. I know not everybody is going to be saved. Not everybody is going to accept Christ. Not everyone is going to believe. But my question is, did we show love? Did we speak Christ to everyone that we could? See, God has deposited something in every believer. I always use the analogy of a mailman. God has deposited mail into each and every one of us that are called by his name. And he expects us to deliver the mail, not hold on to it, not hide it, not pack it away for a rainy day or tape it up tight in a box, but to deliver the mail. For too long, we try to force people to open the mail and read it. He didn't tell us to force them to open the mail and read it. He said, deliver the mail. And he'll do the rest. You deliver the mail. He may send someone else to expound on the mail. And then it might take someone else to deliver some more mail to get them to really read the mail. But our heart should be God's heart. Or should I say God's heart should be our heart. Because, see, if we don't have the mind of Christ, meaning our heart, has not captured what the heart of God is, then it's hard to be effective in spiritual warfare, because a sick heart, you're going to leave some areas vulnerable. Because as I said earlier, there are things that are connected to and affected by your heart. Proverbs 23:7. Oh, I just love the Word of God, I tell you. It has such a wealth of information. Proverbs 23:7. And it says, for as a man thinketh in his heart. Said nothing about the head, the brain, what you think. He said, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. What is that saying? See, you cannot pretend to be with God and be about God say, yeah, Lord, I'm with you. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, God on my mind. Rehearsing what we've heard and then repeating it doesn't mean that you have the heart of God. Because, see, when we have the heart of God, what we believe in our heart, our mouth will confess. Because as Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then Luke 6:45 tells the rest of that. Now let's turn to that. Luke 6:45. Luke 6. Luke 6:45. And it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. This was Jesus talking. And he said, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So here again, the Lord is letting us know that we got to deal with the heart. We have got to deal with the heart. And the heart is so important in us effectively fighting in spiritual warfare. Now turn to Deuteronomy 10:16. You might say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to. Get my heart to do that. How do I do that? Because I know there were times that I asked God that. And like I said earlier, that was during times and I was just ignorant to the word of God. And the more I read, the more I prayed, the more I fasted, then God started showing me, this is how you do it. And this was a real simple instruction. And this is one that was given to the children of Israel. And he said, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Meaning be obedient. Be obedient to what? Be obedient to what the Word of God says. Receive the Word of God in faith. You know, the Word says that. You know, God commanded, he said to serve him, to love him and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And then he said to take heed to your heart not to be deceived. How do you do that? He said, don't turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. See, we can't exalt something higher than God. If you're a believer, now see, the world thinks one way, but I'm talking about being a believer, being a Christian. Be honest and ask yourself the question. What do you spend the most time thinking about? Because what's in your heart, that's what you're going to spend the most time thinking about. What's in your heart, that's what you're going to spend your time doing. It says, do not turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. Do you wash your car 3 times a day? You have to wipe it off in the morning, wipe it off in the evening. On your lunch break, you go wipe it off. No one can touch it or ride in it. Nobody but you. Instead of going to church on Sunday, you have to wash your car. Your children want to spend time with you, but you can't because you have to wash your car. Your wife says, honey, let's watch a movie together. We haven't done that in a while. You can't because you've got to go wash your car. You've got to go move it 3 or 4 times because you don't want it up under the tree because you don't want the leaves to touch it because it's fall and the acid from the leaves will break down the paint. Well, you got to move it over here because birds might drop on it. Well, no, now I'll be back because I got to move it again because the kids out there playing and I don't want a ball to touch it. I mean, that may sound a little bit exaggerating, but I have known people like that. And then you have to ask yourself, who's your God? You know, there's a scripture, too, that says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I believe that's in Proverbs. Meaning the thing that you put the most value on, what do you hold in high esteem? And say we cannot make anything a God other than God. Because guaranteed, if our heart is in things, we won't have it long. See, that was one of the things that Satan is always shooting darts. Scheming and manipulating God's people to do. He wants to steal your heart. People think that the devil wants to steal my money. No, he doesn't. He don't care about your money. He doesn't need it. It's your heart that he's after. Because whoever has your heart will have your worship. You know, there was a movie that I saw years ago. And I can't remember the name of the movie, but there was a saying that this crazy woman in this movie said that really stuck out in my mind. And if I recall, this woman deceitfully worked her way into this home to go after this woman's husband. And there was one scene where she was rocking the woman's baby in a cradle, and she was drawing the woman's husband in. And as she was rocking the cradle, she made a comment, and she said, "The hand that rocks the cradle controls the world." You can flip that around. The one that you allow to rock your cradle will control you. Meaning, what controls what's in your heart is going to control you. See, if your heart loves money, then what is the devil going to do? Then he's going to shoot fiery darts at you that's going to lure you in to a spirit of greed or to a spirit of covetousness, where you love money so much that you will kill for it, steal for it, step on somebody else for it, till your conscience is seared where all you can see is getting that money. Do whatever you have to do to get it. Trick if you got to get it. And will cause you your heart to lie to you, to think that what you're doing is all right because you have to feed your children, because you have to pay child support, because. And then will cause you to be blinded. So remember, your heart controls your thinking, what you see, what you hear, what you believe, what you say out your mouth, what you listen to. Spiritual warfare. So even our heart, we have to give it to God. We have to give it to Him. You know, Deuteronomy was talking too about lay up my words in your heart and in your soul. That's what God is saying. I mean, this word, the scripture. You got a heart problem? Take this medicine right here called the Word of God. Bind them for a sign upon your hands and frontlets between your eyes. If you look at the Hasidic Jews or the Orthodox Jews, you might see them on TV. You see they have, it looks like a leather strap around their hand, wrapped around their fingers. And then it looks like they have something wrapped around their head. He was talking about the symbolic of the scriptures. Because if you have it bound between the frontlets of your eyes, then you're going to watch what you allow your eyes to see. You're going to watch what you allow to get down into your heart. You're going to watch what you allow in your spirit. Because what's in your heart will eventually come out on your hand. And then the word says that we're to teach our children about the Word of God. He said, write them on your doorpost, the doorpost of your house, and upon your gate, and to diligently keep and do all of God's commandments. Walk in His ways, that cleave to Him. That means hold on to God. Hold on to the Word. Hold on to the Word of God in your heart. It doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. Hold on to it in your heart. Hold on to it that you know that what God said, that He's not a man that He should lie. That every man's a liar, but God is true. And that what God said in His Word that He's going to do, you got to hold on to it. Cling to it. Cling to it. Don't let it go. Hold on to the Word of God in your heart. Hold on to it through faith. Hold on to it for dear life. So the Lord said that we ought to do that. So that our days may be prolonged. Because, see, God, He swore He swore to our forefather Abraham. He swore by a promise, and God does not go back on his promise. What he said, he will do. See, I have to remind myself that not only have I been grafted into the vine, but I'm a daughter of Abraham. And because that's whose seed I am, then the blessings of Abraham belong to me. That's what's in my heart, because that's what God said, and that's what I believe. So ask yourself, what is in your heart tonight or today, wherever you're listening in the world? Just take a moment for some self-reflection. What's in your heart? Again, you say, how do I know that? What's coming out your mouth? That tells what's in your heart. What's the pull? What is the pull on you? What do you find yourself thinking about more than anything? What are you drawn to? When I found myself committing the same sin over and over again, over and over again, and over and over again, and I prayed real hard. I prayed, and I said, God, help me. Then I go do it again, over and over again. Until one day I had to look. What was in my heart? See, in my mind, I wanted to do the right thing, not because it was in my heart, but because that's what I was told I needed to do, had to do, should do, but it wasn't in my heart to do. So God gave me a heart exam. And he said to me so gently, wasn't harsh about it. He said to me so gently, your heart's not right. And boy, was I crushed. I mean, I cried. But it was a good crushing. Because it was then and only then that I truly repented, that I was truly ready to change. And I said, God, don't give up on me. Fix my heart so that I can think right. Fix my heart. And you know what? He did it. He did it. And, you know, I looked at others. You know, the Bible talks about how the Word of God you know, it's for reproof, it's for edification, it's for teaching. You know, and I read stories and wondered why some people turned out the way they did. Why, you know, why won't everybody be saved? Why won't everybody accept Christ? Why won't everyone turn their heart over to God? Since the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then I asked the question, well, if it's whosoever believeth, then why are so many people dying such defeated lives? Well, then why are so many people turning more to sin or being drawn to things that are an abomination, that are wicked? If that's the case, if it's just believing, then why is it like that? And you know what? When I asked the Lord that, this is something I found in Scripture, and this is talking about Rehoboam and 2 Chronicles and 12. And Rehoboam was a king at that time. And I'm going to go from 2 Corinthians 12 and starting I'll start at verse 7. And it says, and when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves. Therefore, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be a servant, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched him and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. The city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Isn't that something? And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. See, if we don't prepare our heart, if we don't seek God with our whole heart, if we don't change our minds to see like God sees, if we don't ask God to deal with us, if we don't cry out and ask him to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, do you know what's going to happen? Then we'll end up doing evil. See, the Bible says that the soul that sins will surely die. And that's not God's will for any to perish. Not one. Because see, God did not make hell for us. Because he says we were made in the likeness, in the similitude of God. We were made in his image. And hell was created for Satan and his angels. It wasn't made for us. But oh, too many are running into hell right as we speak because of their heart. Rehoboam, see, there are many of us that God has strengthened. There's many that God has brought you out of some messes. You should have been in jail, but God had mercy and favor on you. The drugs that you did, again, that you said that was the last time you was going to do it, you did it again. But God's grace and mercy, it kept you another day. Will you change your heart today? Will you decide that today is the day that you give up? Meaning, give up your stinking thinking. Give up the way you look at things and what you perceive. Give up the world's ideology and the ways of doing things. And will you take on Christ? Will you let this mind that was in Christ be also in you? You know, Psalm 7, it says that, and I'm paraphrasing, it says that God is our defense, that he saves those who are upright in heart. The breastplate of righteousness. God's righteousness. That protects your heart. That heart is something else. It is something else. The heart will make you do right when really you wanted to do wrong. The heart, God's heart, will cause you to forgive. the heart. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, that's why we got to commit our heart and commit our ways to the Lord. I think when I really look at all of the challenges, the trials and the tribulations, the tests that I've had throughout my life from a child. If anyone has followed me through any of these broadcasts, many times I've talked about coming through childhood abuse, then living through spousal abuse. And when I really think about it, the real tests, the real challenges, the real trials, wasn't so much the circumstances that I was going through, but it was my heart. When I look back at it, my heart was being tested. You know, as I said earlier, that Satan is always after your worship. That's what he wants. He from the beginning, he's wanted to take the place of God. From the beginning, he wanted people to bow down and serve him. And that which he's wanted, it has not changed. It hasn't changed. In Jeremiah 17, starting at 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. See, so how we get things, it has a lot to do with our heart. A heart to work for it, or a heart to take it and steal it. What's in your heart? That's the question. And we're still talking about spiritual warfare. What's in your heart? I was doing some correspondence courses at one time. And in the military, that was one of the ways that you got promoted. You had to have a certain amount of points, and you had to have points in certain areas. One of the areas was civilian education, military education. And you got a lot of points for correspondence courses. So I would take courses, and some of them were real long. Some of them took a year to complete. And I had people offer me the answers to the test. And I watched how
one person would take a course. Well, actually, they didn't take the course. But they would take the answers, and they would just pass them around to each other. And all a person would do is go and plug in the answers. And then before long, they had a certificate saying that they took A, B, C, and D. And they hadn't read it. They hadn't studied it. They didn't have one day of it. But they had a certificate. And when they offered it to me, I turned it down. And they laughed and called me crazy. And why are you doing that? You taking all that time? When here it is, you can have this and blah, blah, blah. And I said, nope. I'm going to study. And I'm going to take the test, and I'm going to earn it right out. And so they elected, and some of these people, they confessed to be a Christian. And they said, well, the answer is being made available to me, so I look at that as a blessing. And I'm like, that's not a blessing. And I say, well, I'll tell you what, you have to do whatever your conscience allows you to do. But as for me, I'm going to study and I'm going to take the test and I'm going to pass it that way. Because one, for me, it was a matter of integrity, but it also was a matter of what was in my heart. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't tempted. But you know what? My heart wasn't like that. I could not see getting something. I call it ill-gotten gain. I could not see getting it through cheating. And this is what I said to that person. I said, how can you have a good conscience lie and get it that way, knowing that you didn't study for it? And I said, so let's look 10 years down the road. You're not going to always be in the military. One day you're going to get out, Lord willing, and you live that long, you're going to get out, and you're going to want to get a job. So here it is. You have all of these credentials. You have all of these certificates saying this is your education and your experience, and it's a lie. But you put this on your resume because you have the paper. And then you get a job based on a lie. So here you get a job. Because you put this on your resume and you've got the proof, you got the paper. But see, but now you've gone deeper into the lie because, see, this employer, they're expecting you to perform on something that you know nothing about. And you know nothing about it because you never read it. So now here it is. Now you're in a situation that you may not know how to get out of, or that causes some other problems for you. And one thing about a lie, you got to tell another lie to cover up that lie, to find another lie to cover up the lie of the lie. And then you got to find another lie to cover the lie for the lie for the lie that was a lie. It's a heart condition. It's a heart condition. So as you see from what we've been discussing, and from the scriptures that have been read. We can't just put on the whole armor of God just by saying some words, just by reciting Ephesians 6. We've got to actually do it. Put on. Put is an action word. You have to do something. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about what to do. But if we look throughout Scripture, it tells us how to do it. If you feel like you just keep tripping up over the same things and you cannot get past it, check your heart. If you can't get past the hurt, check your heart. If you can't get past the disappointment, check your heart. If you can't get over stuff that happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I guarantee you, if you check closely, it's a heart condition. Don't you know that fear is a heart condition? But I just thank God. I thank God that through Christ, you know, he said that he has already overcome. He's already overcome the wicked. So we can have victory. We can have victory. We can't go back and change what has already happened. But we can start from where we are. We can start from right here and say, you know what, today I get my heart right. Today I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Look at your armor. Do you have any chinks in it? Are there some dings and dents? Are there some pits? Are there some cracks? Some ripples? Only you can answer that. If you pray earnestly and ask God to show you, where am I vulnerable? Where is my arm a little weak? Where is the enemy hitting you constantly to wear you down? To get you to walk in fear and not faith. To get you to not believe the word of God, but to believe a lie. To deceive you and to draw you in like reeling the fish in. What line is he trying to hook you on to reel you in? To get you to act inappropriately. You know, see,
I have to be honest with myself, because see, the Word of God tells me, he said that God doesn't tempt any man. Now, he might put you through a test, but he will not tempt you. He said every man, when he is tempted, and he's drawn away, it's because he's drawn out of the lust of his own heart. And I said, wow, that's heavy right there. So if you're drawn away by your own lust out of your own heart, then it made me have to sit back and examine myself. You know, and I use my life as a point of reference, because how can I tell you about the goodness of God? How can I tell you unless God has been living it through me? See, I'm giving you my testimony. He said we overcome by the word of our testimony. So that's how I can tell you about what God has brought me through. I used to wonder how I kept getting in abusive relationships one after another. And I'm like, wow, I thought I saw it, but I missed it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is so good and so loving and sweet. What he showed me was that some family members in my childhood, in my heart, I hated them. Out of my mouth, I said I forgave them. But in my heart, I hated them. I hated them for the abuse. I hated them for the rejection. I hated them for how they treated me. I hated them for how they didn't protect me and how they covered up or blamed me for someone violating me, and I was a child. How it was my fault. So I hated them for that. And then I found out that the very thing that I hated, the very thing that I hated about them, the very thing that I hated them for, I married. What I called myself running from, because I didn't deal with what was in my heart, I ran to it. I called myself running from it, and I ran right to it. And it wasn't until I saw my heart that things in my life began to change. See, many times people blame others and they take the victim mentality and take no responsibility for their own actions, for what's in their heart. And if we don't deal with our heart, that's a big gaping hole in your armor. If anyone is in the medical field, they will tell you, if you have an open chest wound, how you have to create a vacuum to close that wound, or they're going to bleed out. And see, there are many that have a big gaping wound in their chest, a gaping wound spiritually in their heart, and they're bleeding out. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, and it's saying, let him pack that heart. Let him put a vacuum on it. Let him stop the bleeding. Let him stop the pain. Let him stop the hurt. But you have to give it to him. Because if God doesn't have your heart, you're going to die. Some people literally, some people spiritually. So God is calling you today. Will you let him do a triple bypass? Will you let him? Will you let him give you a new heart? Will you let him come and take that space, that place that you gave to somebody else? Will you turn your heart back to the Father? Will you love him and love on him like you did in the beginning when he first found you and you were so zealous, all you could do was talk about God, think about God, tell anybody, everybody. You talk to the trees, talk to the fish, talk to the dog about Jesus. God wants your heart today. So that part of your armor, it can be sealed up. That no fiery dart of the enemy can penetrate and hurt you. Not saying it won't hit you, because he said the weapon would form, but it would not prosper. But so it can, when it hits you, so it can bounce off. You know, I had a conversation with someone early today. And one of the things in dealing with spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God in the heart, one of the biggest things that I had to get over was people. Meaning, caring more about what people thought about me than what God thought about me. You know, to some, I may even seem almost callous, but I'm not callous at all. It's that I know who I am in Christ. I know in whom I believe and why I believe. I know why I make the declarations that I make. And that my identity is in Christ and not what someone else thinks about me. I used to care more about what people thought about me, and that was a fiery dart that the enemy often used against me and many times won. Until I was able to say, you know what, I'm going to see myself as God sees me. I can remember when the Lord spoke to me and told me who I was in him. And he told me at a time when my life wasn't right, when I had a whole lot of issues and I just could not see how I could be that. And I was like fighting against him and going, not me. I'm not that. And me and my ignorance, I even gave God a list of names who I thought would better fit that mold than me. Oh, no, not me. So-and-so, give it to them. No, that's them over there. No, that's not me. And I didn't want to receive who God said I was. And I fought against it for years. But one thing I realized is when God tells you who you are, has nothing to do with where you are right now. It has nothing to do with what you look like now. And I just love how God, he speaks into our present. And he connects our present to our future. See, when God was speaking to me about who I was, I was already what he called me from the foundation of the world. But it had not yet manifested, just like David. David was anointed by Samuel years before he walked in it. He was already anointed king as a lad, as a young boy, before he actually became king. See, many of you out there, you're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at the times that you messed up. When God is saying, repent and get back up. Keep walking. See yourself as I see you, not how you look right now. There's a well-known prophet named Kim Clement. I don't know if you've heard of him. Many of you may have. But he used to have a saying. And he used to say, I see you in the future. And it looks much better than it looks right now. And you know what? I have to remind myself about that sometimes. Especially when I'm getting hit hard and heavy with all kind of darts and arrows. And I have to see myself in the future. And I have to say to myself that it looks much better than it looks right now. Some of you need to say that tonight. You need to say you see yourself in the future. And your future looks much better than it looks right now. You know why? Because that's what the Bible says. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have towards you. Plans of good and not evil. To give you a hope and a future. Some translation says it's to bring you to an expected end. Put on the whole armor of God, beloved. And there is nothing that the devil can do to harm you. And you say, but Minister St. Hill Morton, I've been standing and my circumstances hasn't changed. And God is saying, then keep on standing. He said, having done all to stand. Stand on the truth of God's word.
Because God's word, it will not come back void. Everything that God said, it won't come back void. It will perform and it will do everything that he sent it out to do. Not one stone will be left unturned. And when it comes to vengeance, he said, vengeance is his. He will repay. See, one of the things I think about is that it doesn't matter what someone has said about me, what they have tried to do to me. That's a soul. See, more than revenge, I would much rather see that soul saved. You know, because I was once one of them. I said that earlier. So were some of you. And God forgave me. So if I'm not willing to forgive men their trespasses, but how can I expect God to forgive me? Because I realize that anyone that has done me wrong, there's nothing that they could ever do to repay me. There's nothing that they can do to fix it. Only God. It's just like if a man takes the life of another man. The family of that man is left hurt, empty, angry. And their anger, their hatred, their malice, their wanting revenge, will it bring back their loved one? No, it won't. That's a done deal. That's a wrap. But forgiveness could save that man's soul from hell. But he cannot repay back what he took. And you can't regain what you lost. But what you can have is peace and forgiveness. And restoration. Because when we won't forgive, our heart gets callous. That's a chink in the armor. That's a hole. So I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. But if you will, just meditate on Ephesians 6. Meditate on each piece of that armor. Examine yourself. And see if you have any gaping holes. See if you have any dings or pits or cracks. Repent quickly. Ask God to change your heart. Read the word. You don't know where to start? Examine yourself and see where
there's a breach in your armor. And then find the scriptures relating to that. Read it. Ask God. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Well, hello. Is there a caller that has a comment?
Yes, I do. Oh, my God. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Girl, the Lord is blessing. Oh, my goodness. The Lord is blessing. So you're really, I'm telling you, God is just, you're just on point. I just had to share that with you. I just wanted you to know.
Amen.
I'm just in agreement, totally. God is just, that armor, you know, you said it, really, you pointed out you have a hole in your armor. That is dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's a small, you know, hole, like they talk about the astronaut, not the astronaut, but, you know, with the computer, they had a bug, you know, they call a bug in the computer. It was literally a bug that they found in the computer that caused so much havoc, you know. Mm-hmm. Somehow there was a hole or a space for that insect to get into. You know, how small that little bug was.
Right.
That causes the problems for us, and we think it's nothing but these small sins or small, oh, it's okay. It's not okay. It really isn't. It really isn't.
That's right.
It'll cause devastation to the armor. It'll cause devastation to the army. The armor got a hole in it. It's kind of like the astronaut going up into the space. If they have like a little pinhole in that suit that they have to wear, that protective garment, all that stuff, all that millions of dollars, right? They go all the way up there, and they get out, and what's going to happen with that one little tiny, tiny little pinhole, like a needle hole? That thing will explode, open up, and the guy is messed up, blown
right
away, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That is right. And see, and that is what Satan does.
Mm-hmm.
He looks for a little hole, a little crack.
Jesus.
And it doesn't even have to be visible to the naked eye. That is why we have to give our hearts to the Lord. That's why we have to repent daily. Because see, just a little teeny bit of offense. A little teeny bit of offense left undealt with will turn into a big gaping hole. You're offended at first, and then before you know it, you'll have hatred. And then if you still don't deal with it, next thing you know, you have a spirit of bitterness.
Mm.
And the Word of God says not to let the root of bitterness be in you. It doesn't say don't hate. It says don't let the root of bitterness be in you. Because when you allow the root of bitterness, which is a heart condition, then it opens the door for other conditions. Because, see, a lot of times, what's indicative of our spiritual man, it'll manifest in our natural man. You know, there have been studies done, because whether people believe it or not, science validates the Bible. People fight and say, oh, no, no, science validates the Bible. Everything that they say is not God. Science proves that it is. And there have been studies done that people who had unforgiveness and hatred died of cancer. They've linked that to that. Because when you have hatred and bitterness, there are things that work in the body. They're chemicals your body gives off, where it's almost like your body starts eating at itself.
Mm.
And that's why God said for us to forgive.
The heart is something. The heart is something. You know, I sit back and I just look at some of the things that I hear people say and see things that they do, or see what's in the newspaper or coming across the TV, and then just like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm just like, wow, I can remember at one time when I was right there too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I felt like that. I can't believe I looked at that. You ever did that? And I'm going, wow, Lord, thank you for delivering me, God. So it makes me pray even more for other people. Because I look at how it could have been me, how it could have turned out the other way, how I could have died in my sin, how I could have been caught up. Oh, my gosh. So I'm like, God, deal with me. Deal with me, God. And you know what? Especially in marriage, don't you know it's like iron sharpens iron. Nobody is perfect. And no one person has it all. But see, God designed marriage where we rub up against one another, not to hurt each other, but to perfect one another. Rub off those rough edges and make them smooth. That's why marriages work. You want to learn what's in your heart? You be married. You want to learn whether you forgive or not? Be married. Because you know what? It's not perfect, and you get on each other's nerves sometimes. You may even hurt each other sometimes. You may even do some things sometimes that will disappoint your mate, or your mate disappoint you. But check your heart. How fast do you forgive? You know, that was one of the reasons why Moses gave a writ of divorcement. He said it was because people's hearts, they wouldn't forgive. So, again, I would just say to everyone, just while you're listening and even after this broadcast is over, for the rest of this week, do a self-examination. And check out your heart. Check out your pulse. Is your pulse for God? Or is your pulse leaning more towards the world? Is your pulse for yourself? Or is your pulse for others? And then allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If he hasn't spoken to you already, or if he is speaking to you, let him minister to you. And that part of your heart that you've been holding on to, that part of your heart that's been holding on to offense, that part of you that is of your heart that's been holding on to hurt and disappointment, will you take it and will you give it to the Lord and say, here, you take it. You deal with it. Will you allow the peace of God to come back into your heart? That peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace that even you can't understand. That peace that will say, I forgive them. I don't know why I'm doing it. I can't explain it. But I can't be angry anymore. I can't be mad anymore. I can't be hurt anymore. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. All I know is that I forgive him. You see, God could do what we could never do. God can do anything but fail. God is able to do abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think or even expect. God can change a bad situation around. God can reconcile relationships. He can heal marriages. He can restore. He can make something that was old and beat up like new. He can bring us through the fire. And what you're going through may be seven times hotter. And you know others, just like me, who didn't make it. They didn't last through it. But God brought you through and is bringing you through. And you know what's so amazing? Just like the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, then Jesus walking in the fire with them. You know what? When they came out, the Word of God says that their clothes did not smell of smoke, nor was their eyebrows, they weren't singed. The hair wasn't singed. And it's only God that can bring you out the fire. And no one will ever know what you've been through by looking at you. No one would know unless you told them. No one would know that you were the crackhead unless you told them or they knew you. No one would know you used to be a prostitute. No one would know you used to be a drug dealer or whatever you were, whatever I was. No one would know unless I told them. Why? Because God brought me out and changed my heart and there's no smoke. Nobody can do that but God. And beloved, he wants to do it for you. You don't have to struggle any longer if you give your heart to the Lord. Give that problem to him. Give that issue to him. Stop picking it back up and thinking, well, I can handle it. I can do it my way. I can change him. I can change her. I can fix this. No. Give it to him. And let him do something wonderful in your life. See, you have an assignment that only you could do. Nobody can do it like you. It's yours and yours alone. It's designed specifically for you. And it would be a shame. It would be a shame to not live up to your potential. You know, just like we talked earlier about that famous boxer, Hector Camacho, that he never lived up to his potential. See, boxing, it was a good thing. It was a milestone in his life, but it wasn't his full potential.
He never found out what that was. Because, see, our full potential is in Christ. It's not in the world or anything that the world offers. It's in Christ. There are so many that have died an untimely death, never reaching their potential. But see, those of you that are alive, you have the opportunity to reach your full potential. But it's only in Christ. We've got about 15 more minutes in this broadcast. And I just want to open up the floor for any questions or comments or a praise report?
Well, I have one. You had said about guarding the heart. We were talking about that earlier. And I just have to coin that to a dear prophetess, and you know who, you know, I don't call names out. But I thank God, you know, that she even stated that. You have to really protect your heart, you know, no matter what you're dealing with, you know, you have to really, so that's truly a praise report, because she has identified that, and that word has proven itself to be really real. But how do one, you know, that just, it sounds like a good phrase, how do one guard their heart, you know what I'm saying, when you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with the spiritual warfare and so forth, you know, and you're a good person, but then, you know, the, you know, the enemy comes just to kill, steal, destroy, whatever. And, you know, so how would you deal with guarding your heart to protect your heart from, you know, the onslaughts of the enemy?
Well, one, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to know the Word of God. And you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. Because, see, one thing about the devil, since he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he's not going to come to you with anything that is not going to be effective against you. See, the devil is not a creator. He's an imitator. But what he does do, he has his demons, his angels, that will watch you. You ever feel provoked and not even know why? See, it's almost like being provoked to get you to act. And see, that's what the devil will do. He'll throw those fiery darts at you. He may not know what's in you, but if he throw enough darts at you, what's in you is going to come out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because we really are not, we really don't show our true self. No one does. You know, everybody has like a little, you know, mask on, you know, everyone.
Yeah, but see, I'll give you a good example. We'll talk about let's take pornography, okay? If I don't have some stuff going on in my heart dealing with sexual sin, because see, pornography is not the start of it. That is a fruit of something else that's there. See,
right.
The Word of God talks about, I'm gonna turn to this. The Word of God talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And see, when you're dealing with pornography, you're dealing with the lust of the flesh. And when you're dealing with the lust of the flesh, the Word of God says that out of the lust of the flesh, then all these things come. And then it starts talking about promiscuity and lasciviousness. So we have to deal with the root of things and not just keep chopping at the fruit. We wonder why we keep falling back into the same thing over and over and over. Because all you did was you just pluck some fruit off. You have to deal with the root of a thing.
Yeah.
And when you deal with the root of it, then you start seeing some things changing.
You know, like I was talking earlier about my hatred for some family members and how they treated me and abused me and allowed me to be abused and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't think that I hated them, you know, because there was a part of me that loved them, but deep down there was a part of me that hated them and resented them. And because that root wasn't dealt with, because I didn't identify it, I didn't know about it, I didn't have anyone to teach me about spiritual warfare or these things. As a matter of fact, you know, based on the background rooted in Judaism, I didn't even read the New Testament to know about those things about the armor of God. I only read from the Old Testament. So, you know, out of ignorance, I couldn't deal with that root. I could only just keep swiping at the fruit and missing. But once I started getting into the whole Word of God, all of it, because all of it works hand in hand. You know, people say that the Old Testament was done away with. No, it wasn't. See, the Bible says that it was a type and shadow of things to come. You know, you could see Jesus in the Old Testament as you could in the New Testament. And, you know, I found some things this week, and the Word that just, you know, blew me away when I was doing my devotion. And I said, you know, God is so good. You know, I'm going to share this in a few minutes. I was reading in Proverbs this week, and it was Proverbs, the 30th chapter. And I'm just going to show you just how something can be there and you don't even see it. And this was a viewer's confession and prayer. And I hadn't seen this before, and this was his confession about God. And in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, starting at the 4th verse, it says, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended?" This is Proverbs now. Excuse me. And who do we know that ascended into heaven or descended? Jesus, right?
Right. Yeah.
Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? Now check this out. Now this is what got me. And I said, wow, I know I have read Proverbs 30 so many times and I never saw this. And it says, what is his name? And what is his son's name, is if thou canst tell. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And then he said, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. But I just was tripping on verse 4, because he said, what is his name, and what is his son's name? I never read that. I mean, I read it before, but I never saw that. And, of course, he's talking about Christ. But it's the same thing with our heart. You might not have seen it before. But if you go back again, go back again to God. Go back again to the Word. Go back again and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And then he will show you what was there that you didn't see.
Right.
He will show you where the root is so that you don't just keep swiping at the fruit. He will show you what's in your heart. It's not to destroy you. It's not to hurt you. It's not to depress you, but it's to free you. Because he was through God showing me my heart, that I could get free.
Right.
Because he said that you can't go into a man's house and spoil his goods until you first bind the strong man.
And see, we got a lot of strong men in our house. And it's time to kick the devil out. It's time to kick him out. And you know what? In Matthew, the 15th chapter, and I kind of touched on this earlier. And it says, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he says, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man.
Right.
So we got to deal with those things in our heart. We got to allow God to deal with them. And you know what? Then your life will change. And then you can truly say you're free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Because one thing about God, when God freed me, not when I did it myself, okay? Because when I tried to do it myself, I last for a little while, and guess what? Once them darts started hitting, I was right back to doing it again, and then worse, in worse shape. But when Jesus freed me, when I gave him my heart in that area,
right,
I was free indeed.
Man.
And had no desire to go back. So the enemy couldn't shoot an arrow at that part anymore. Okay? He found another vulnerable area and started hitting me there.
Hmm.
But see, every area that the arrow hit, you know, I had to change my thinking. Instead of saying, oh, what was me? Oh, the devil's fighting me. Oh, my God. I had to say that where the arrows are hitting is allowing me to see what's vulnerable.
Right.
So I don't know what area I need to take to God to armor up, you know, where the crack needs to be fixed. So instead of looking at it as a woe is me, look at it as, well, thank you for allowing me to see what needs to be fixed.
Right, exactly.
You know, so I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, that was very good. I'm gonna
absorb that. Amen. 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 And you know, we can go into more things with the heart, but you know, with that, that'll take a whole nother broadcast.
That's a show all by itself.
Amen. Amen. So. I just thank God for you, Bishop, and I just thank God for my King Fellowship, and I'm just thankful to the Holy Spirit for allowing me to come before His people once again. And I pray that everyone out there listening, I pray that you were blessed tonight, and that you would take to heart what was said and just do a heart checkup.
Right.
Allow God to do heart surgery. And I tell you, you'll be the better for it. You know, one thing that I always say before I go away, you know, the Lord said to go and tell them. So that's what I'm doing. I'm telling the world that try Jesus, 30 days, money back guaranteed. Because if you really try God and you really give Him your heart, you will never be the same.
Right.
Your life will change. And you won't go out the same way you came in.
Right, exactly.
So, amen. So, everybody, amen. Be blessed. Read your word. Get into the word. I tell you, it is awesome. Sometimes I read. Sometimes I get so into it, I forget to eat. And then I have to go back and say, did I eat today? Wow, what did I eat? And I have to try to think about it. What did I eat? You know, because it's just so good that it'll fill you up. It'll fill you up to the point where you don't feel like eating. So I just thank God. You all be blessed. And we'll see you back again next Monday on the Tell Them broadcast on My King Service Worldwide Fellowship Radio, the most awesome radio station on earth. God is so good. You all be blessed. And pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. And look, check us out. If you have a special prayer request, you can send it to us. It'll be confidential. You can send it, fax it. There's all kind of ways you can get it to us. I know we have several fax numbers. Hey, Bishop, why don't you shout your fax number out there, and then I'll fax the MS Moore fax.
Yeah, you can send your fax to 877-707-4477. That's prayer or request or suggestion. You know, petition to the Lord. You know, everything is confidential because it comes into a system that, you know, the world don't see. We have to open it up, and only special people have, select few has the access code to download that fax. So 877-707-4477.
Amen. Amen. So send us your prayer request because you're not alone. And, you know, we need one another. And the Word of God says that those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So if you're weak right now, guess what? You're strong because you have brothers and sisters that will hold your arms up and that will pray. Pray you up, pray you through, pray for you. Because you know what? As Jesus told Peter after he denied him, and Peter had a change of heart. Because, see, Peter was fearful. That was at the root of his heart, was fear. But once he got past that, then Jesus told him, he said, now that you've been strengthened, he said, go and strengthen your brother. And he asked Peter three times, he said, do you love me? And he told him, then go feed his sheep. And he asked him again, do you love me? Then go feed his sheep. So we're here to strengthen one another so that we can go out to a lost and dying world and tell them that Jesus is alive and he's well. And then he loves them, and he died and rose again so that they can live, that they can be free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, be blessed, everybody.
All right, be blessed. God bless you.
God bless you.
Stop conference recording. Press 1. To return to the conference, your conference recording has stopped.